Good morning, everybody, and welcome. It's lovely to see you. So my name's Phil, and I'm the vicar here. Hands up if you've started school or are about to start school. Loads of you. Okay, hands down. Now, I need some help from you this morning. I know, children, that you know how to sit quietly and listen. But the thing is, the grown-ups aren't used to it. So in the next few minutes, they might start fidgeting. And I would like you to show them how to sit still and listen. Do you think you can do that? You do. Fantastic. So, as Helen said, over the last 16 weeks, we have been on a journey together. It's a journey with lots of different stops as we've explored this amazing book or series of books called the Bible. And today we come to the end of our journey. But it's the beginning of a new one. And I'm going to remind you where we've been on this journey with a little bit of help from Lego. Okay, so look carefully at the screen and you'll see where we've been and where we're going. Our journey started at creation. And we were reminded at the beginning of the Bible that God created the heavens and the earth. Everything there is, seen and unseen. And God looked at creation and said, wow, it's fantastic. He created people represented by Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden. And God, when he saw all that he had made, said, wow, it is very good. And God looks at you and me today and these four little ones who are baptized and said, wow, they are amazing. But then very sadly, our journey went downhill because we stopped next at the fall. And we were reminded in that story of Adam and Eve that they gave in to temptation. Temptation not just to eat fruit, but to say, we want to be the ones that decide what's right and wrong in the world. We don't want any of God's way in our lives. And that story of the fall was all about us rebelling against God and saying, we're going to decide what's right and wrong. We don't want God to decide for us. But God did not give up. Because the next stop was what we called call. And God called a man called Abram or Abraham. And he said to him, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Through you and all your children, and there are going to be millions of them, I will bless the whole of my creation. But everything didn't go smoothly from there on. How are we doing, children? Are we sitting quietly? Showing that one or two adults started to fidget, I can see. Well done. So the next stop was Egypt. And that started with Abraham's great-grandchildren arguing with each other and particularly ganging up on Joseph. And they stripped him of his lovely cloak and they sold him into slavery. And the story of Egypt had some good bits and some bad bits. On the good side, God used Joseph to help feed all of Abraham's family. But over hundreds of years, the people of Israel became enslaved in Egypt. A low point in the story. But God would not give up on his people. And so we came to Exodus. And God, leading his people through Moses from captivity, from slavery, into freedom in the promised land through the Red Sea. Hands up if you remember that story. Yeah, fantastic. And from there on, God was known by his people as the God who sets us free. God was known as the God who sets us free. We then stopped at the law. And this was just something that God gave to his people through the Ten Commandments and in other ways to say, if you're going to be my people, here are some boundaries to live by. This will help you know what's right and wrong and know how to follow me. God gave the people the land of Canaan and here's Joshua about to cross the River Jordan into the land. But things weren't always easy in the land because the people did what people always do. They looked at everybody else and said, "Oh, that looks better than what we've got." And they started to worship other gods. And God sent people called judges to call the people back to God, to say, "Come back to me. Living for God is the best way to live your life. It's the safest, most secure way to live your life." And as these four little ones have been baptized this morning, what they have been saying through their parents and godparents is that they're going to grow up in the safety and security of knowing and loving God and being loved by him. There's one of the judges. The people, though, weren't very happy. They looked at other lands and other people groups and said, "They've got kings. We want kings." And God said to the people, "If you have kings, they'll lead you astray. They won't have your best interests at heart." But the people said, "No, we want kings." So they got kings. People like Saul and King David. But still, the people rebelled. The kings started to lead people away from God. So God sent prophets, who generally were old people with beards. And their job was to say, "Come back to God. Stop running away. God loves you." And the prophet said to the people, "If you keep going like this, if you keep rebelling against God, you'll lose the land that God gave you." And that's what happened in the exile. The people in the north were conquered by the Assyrians. In the south, the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem and took the people into Babylon, where they sat down and sang sad songs by the rivers of Babylon. Remember the song, "Where we sat down, where we wept when we remembered Zion." But God did not give up on his people. And the next stop was return. God, through Nehemiah and Ezra, bringing his people back to the promised land and rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple and the walls. And that is the story of the Old Testament. And then this is what happened next. Let's just see how quiet we can be. See if you can be so quiet that we can hear a pin drop. And that is what happened for hundreds of years between the Old and the New Testament. There was silence. Where was God? But God was hatching the biggest, most incredible plan the universe has ever seen. That silence was like a drum roll for what was about to happen. It wasn't something that God suddenly thought of. It's being glimpsed and hinted at all the way through the Old Testament. And that plan was our next stop. It was Jesus. God himself becoming one of us. Why? Because God will not give up on his people. God coming as a tiny, vulnerable baby to be with us and to save us. And in Jesus, God going to the cross to die for us. And if you were here when we looked at the cross, we said the cross answers two questions. One is, how much do you love me? And God says, "I love you, all of you. Whether you know it or not, I love you enough to die for you." And the other question the cross answers is, how do we get home? How do we get back into that relationship God created us for at the beginning of the story? And Jesus says, "Through me, I am the way and the truth and the life. If you want to know what life in all its fullness is," says Jesus, "then follow me." And they're the promises that we've made on behalf of the children this morning. And then we came to resurrection just 2 weeks ago. and we saw that resurrection is like the train stop when the guard shouts, "All change! Everything from now on will be different." Why? Because in the resurrection of Jesus, life has swallowed up death. Forgiveness has swallowed up unforgiveness and sin and guilt and shame. Everything changes in the resurrection. And then last week, we stopped at the stop called Spirit, where God pours out his Holy Spirit so that the church can be the church. And today, very briefly, we've come to our last stop. That's where we've been. That's the story of the Bible in 17 words. So what's the church? The church is not, as we sometimes think, buildings and services. The church is, thank you, Joe, us. The church is us. When the Bible talks about the church, it talks about people of all ages and all backgrounds. Those who think they're religious enough and those who think they're not. Anybody who responds to God's call to come and belong to him. This is how Peter puts it in 1 Peter chapter 2. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. We use some of those words in the baptism service. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Peter says the church is about your identity. Just look at those words in yellow. A people who are chosen by God. A people who belong to God. One of the things I think our world needs most at the moment is a sense that we belong. Maybe some of us need to hear that this morning above the noise. To hear that God says, "You belong to me." A people of light who have received mercy. But Peter also says that with that comes a responsibility, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So in summary, the church is any of us that live that story. The church is anybody who hears God say, "This is your story." And it can be yours simply by putting your trust in Jesus Christ. But there's one more thing about the church, and I'm always reminded of it when I see a tin of Quality Street. Ah, that's made some of you suddenly take notice. You see, as well as the slogan "Magic Moments," Quality Street used to have the slogan, does anybody know? "Made for sharing." I think that's a great slogan, don't you? I don't want to eat all of these because otherwise I'd be sick and spoil my dinner. But I think these are made for sharing. And at the end of the service, I'll be at the back of church and I would love to share them with anybody, particularly any children that come and see me at the end of the service. But you know, and this is my last point, the story that we've heard isn't just our story, it's a story that's made for sharing. So to be the church is to be a people who know the love of God, who give our lives to Jesus, and then who share the good news of his light and his love with others. You've been really, really good. Well done, children. Not too many adults were fidgeting, so thank you very much for your help.